Castillo waited until the White House operator, detecting that the telephone in Camp David had been hung up, asked, "Are you through, Colonel?" "Break it down, please. Thank you," Castillo said. And then, after a moment, "You heard that, Agnes? Dick?"
"Why do I think Mr. Ellsworth doesn't like you?" Agnes asked.
"With a little bit of luck, I can stop this before it gets any worse," Castillo said. "But I wanted you to have a heads up if it goes wrong. I'll give you a call when we're a couple hours out of Baltimore. We're going to need 3 Yukons."
"They'll be there," Agnes said.
"Where do we live now, Dick?"
"I was about to call you about that," Miller said. "You know West Boulevard Drive in Alexandria?"
"Maybe. I think so."
Agnes knows a real estate guy, and he put her onto a place at 7200 West Boulevard Drive. An old couple lived there. She died. And then a month later, 3 months ago, he did. Their kids didn't want it, and they want the money quick. They went through it and took out the valuable stuff, but what's left is nice.
And the house?
"You'll like everything about it but the price, boss," Agnes said.
"Which is how much, and why will I like it?"
"Right now you are renting it, furnished, for $10,000 a month, with an option to buy at $2,950,000 with the furniture, and I don't really know how much without."
"Done deal?"
"You told Dick to get you out of the Monica Lewinsky Motel right now, and yesterday would be better." "Yeah, it's a done deal. I gave them a check 2 hours ago," Agnes said.
"On my account, I hope. I don't want the Lorimer Benevolent and Charitable Trust involved in this."
"You're paying for it," Agnes said. "But on that subject, we just got confirmation of that substantial deposit to the trust we've been expecting."
"Well, presuming we can keep that a secret, that's good news. Can I go to this place straight from the airport? And can I stash Lieutenant Lorimer there until I figure out what to do with him?"
"You can go there from the airport," Agnes said. "But there's no sheets or towels, food, etc. And yes, you can take somebody there. 6 bedrooms, 6 baths. And it's off the road. Nobody can look into the windows from the street. I told them to get a radio in there tomorrow, but it will probably be a couple of days before you have a secure White House telephone."
"Dick, can you get our stuff out of the Mayflower and over there before I get there? And stop by Sam's Club or someplace and buy sheets, etc., and food? Charge that to the trust."
"Yes, sir, Colonel, sir."
"Dare I to presume that was an invitation to share your new quarters?" "Yeah, but no guests of the opposite sex above the first floor," Castillo said. "We are going to be paragons of virtue in our new home."
Agnes laughed. "That I'll have to see," she said. Castillo had a new thought.
"Who's going to take care of this place?"
"That's another problem I'm working on," Agnes said. "You're going to need a housekeeper and a yard man, at least. Dick said maybe we could put an ad in the Army Times and see if we could find a retired sergeant and his wife. Maybe they'd have security clearances."
"What would I do without you, Agnes?"
"I shudder to consider the possibility," she said.
"Unless you've got something else, we'll see you tomorrow," Castillo said.
"Can't think of anything that won't wait."
When it became evident that Miller wasn't going to say anything, Castillo ordered, "Break it down, Lester."
"Aye, aye, sir."
Castillo hung up the phone. "Okay. In the immortal words of General George S. Patton, let's saddle up and get this show on the road."
"I don't think Patton said that, Ace,"
Edgar Delchamp said. "If he didn't, he should have," Castillo said.
"What about the stakes?" Susanna Cieno said.
"Fire should be ready about now," Paul Cieno added. Castillo considered that a moment, then said, "Good idea, Susanna. An army marches on its stomach. I don't know if Patton said that or not, and I don't care. I'm hungry. Let's eat."